my name is Solange, and I'm an intern at the head offices of International Bridges to Justice in Geneva, Switzerland. Last week, I had the unique opportunity of sitting down with one of IBJ's own young legal fellows, Galika Reddy. With quiet determination, Galika recounted cases of injustice, hardship, and loss she had encountered through her work as an IBJ criminal defense lawyer. Being in Geneva, it's so easy for interns like myself to feel disconnected from the work happening in our country programs. So it was refreshing to speak with someone from the IBJ family who is on the ground interacting with the people IBJ serves. Instead of feeling disheartened, our conversation left me feeling inspired and optimistic. Galika's passion, humility, and strength reaffirmed my own faith in IBJ's mission to end torture as an investigative tool. Take a listen.
Hello, Galika. Welcome to Geneva.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you. I am Solange Pate. I'm an intern at IBJ Geneva, and I'm here with an IBJ India legal fellow, Galika Reddy. We're so excited to have her. And we just wanted to say, first of all, welcome to Geneva. She's here visiting us because she's going to the annual curators meeting for the Global Shapers community at the World Economic Forum. So how was it?
Well, it was an amazing experience. So the Global Shapers community is an initiative of the World Economic Forum, and it's a network of young people between 20 and 33 who are working within each of their local communities. And this conference brought together over 350 curators from 156 countries, each of whom were really inspiring and were doing amazing work in their cities.
Wow, that's great. So tell us, how long have you been working at the IBJ India office?
So I began work at IBJ last year in October, so it's been close to a year now.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. What made you really start working for IBJ? Why did you decide that you wanted to work with IBJ?
So I met Karen at a World Economic Forum conference in China last year, and with which Karen spoke about the kind of work that IBJ does, which I think is really much needed. It just made me realize this is something I want to do, and this is a journey that I want to be a part of.
Great. Can you tell us more about sort of your day-to-day responsibilities, what kind of things you do at the office?
Yeah. So what I'm doing with IBJ is trying to... IBJ, as you of course already know, works in six developing countries, including India. And I've been trying to take their work to South India, starting with Chennai and Bangalore. So I go to the women's prison once a week where I try to take on cases. And I've also set up a pro bono task force of lawyers in Chennai who do the same. And we're trying to do the same thing in Bangalore. And we've just recently partnered with the National Law School there. And so I'm excited to start the journey in Bangalore.
Wow, that sounds great. Really rewarding, for sure. So you do a lot of traveling, meeting with clients and things like that, or a lot of outreach, it seems like?
So I mean, I travel to the prison once a week, but that's in the city. And then depending on where the court, which court is hearing their case, I go to the different criminal courts in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
And handle the cases.
Could you tell us maybe about some cases that are going on right now?
Yeah. So the thing is, which is the reason why IBJ exists, is when you enter a prison, you realize that it's only people who are indigent and marginalized who are in there. And more often than not, they're in there for really petty offenses, or they're falsely accused often. And in the Chennai prison, I've seen a lot of the women who are in prison are sex workers, and just because of the shame associated with the sex trade, they're, you know, abandoned by their families once they're in prison. And so even if they can get out on bail, they're unable to, because they're like, there's nobody to help them furnish the surety that they need to give in order to get out.
So you think maybe IBJ sort of takes an interesting or kind of innovative approach in dealing with special cases?
Yeah, so I think what IBJ does is it takes on the cases for people who don't have any representation. And yeah, they facilitate early access to counsel so that everybody has, you know, has a fair trial, has access to a lawyer, and yeah, essentially ensures that, I mean, everyone's basic rights are, you know, taken care of.
So could you tell us, maybe go into depth about a recent case that you've been working on?
Yeah. So one of the cases that I've been working on, which is, it was incredibly sad when I first met the woman in prison. So she's from the north of India, and she's mentally ill, and she accidentally got on a train that brought her to the South India. And she was just walking on a street in Chennai, and she saw a little boy outside his house, and she offered him a biscuit. And there was nobody around, and then the child took the biscuit and came near her. But when people within the house noticed, they came and they started, like, you know, running after her, and a lot of neighbors did too. And she started running because she didn't know the language and she was unfamiliar with the area. And they assumed that she was trying to kidnap the child, and then she was taken to the police station and thrown in jail. But the whole time, since she couldn't speak the language, she didn't have the opportunity to explain herself. And, you know, it wasn't, I mean, what she told me was that she was not trying to kidnap the child, she was just trying to feed him a biscuit. And it's just a really, really sad story, because she's been in jail for close to a year now. And because she's mentally ill, she doesn't know, like, any of her family's, like, either the phone number or the address or anything. And since she also, because she doesn't speak the language, even the legal aid lawyers who've come until now have not been able to communicate with her. So fortunately, I know Hindi and I've been able to speak with her. And we've been going through her trial, and we've slowly realized as we've done the cross-examination that they never stopped to ask her what she was trying to do. Or, you know, even, like, the police hadn't asked her in Hindi because they didn't know the language, neither had the family. And another thing that's come out through the cross-examination is they didn't actually see her interaction with the child. They didn't actually see her trying to pick up the child or take the child away or anything like that. So, yeah, so what we're doing right now is not just trying to get her bail, but just go through the entire trial, because even if she were to get bail, there's nobody who could produce surety for her, and, you know, she would still have to be in Chennai till the case is over. But, you know, right now we're towards the end of the trial, and I hope that at the end of this, both the police and the judge have been quite positive, so have the prison officials. Like, I think they also feel very sorry for the fact that she's in an unfamiliar state, and like, the added, you know, the added issue of being mentally ill. And yeah, I hope that at the end of this trial she'll get to go back home and be with her family.
Certainly. Wow.
Really crippling for someone in her situation is that she doesn't understand the legal process, right? So every time I would go to jail, she would just be sobbing and trying to understand, okay, so can I get out of jail tomorrow, today, day after? Because there's nobody there who can really, because of the language barrier, explain the process to her. And for someone who's not a lawyer and someone who's not familiar with the criminal justice system, it can be quite an intimidating space. And I think what is great about IBJ is that they feel that connection with all of, like, everybody that they work with, and they explain the process to them.
But that's a lot, like, why we put so much emphasis on legal rights awareness in the public, right? And posters, brochures, radio ads, and things like that. So.
Yeah.
Certainly something I'm sure that you see time after time is people just kind of panicking because they don't understand, you know, why these things are happening and things of that nature.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And just kind of looking towards the future, you know, what are your kind of personal hopes or professional hopes? You know, working with IBJ, clearly expanding IBJ. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm really excited to be, like, especially, like, after coming here and, like, interacting with the team. She's such a, like, wonderful, like, positive group of people. And I'm really excited to just be a part of this IBJ family and, yeah, you know, add people, like, I mean, go back home and kind of, like, we already have a pro bono task force of lawyers, but kind of spread more awareness, you know, bring people on board and... yeah, expand not just in Chennai and Bangalore, but also in other parts of South India.
Well, it was such a pleasure talking to you. Meeting and connecting with people, like you said, from the IBJ family and hearing their stories is definitely inspiring for us here in Geneva. So thank you, and
thank
we're
you.
So happy to have you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just the passion with which Karen spoke about the kind of work that IBJ does, which I think is really much needed. It just made me realize this is something I want to do, and this is a journey that I want to be a part of.
Great. Can you tell us more about sort of your day-to-day responsibilities, what kind of things you do at the office?
Yeah. So what I'm doing with IBJ is trying to... IBJ, as you of course already know, works in 6 developing countries, including India. And I've been trying to take their work to South India, starting with Chennai and Bangalore. So I go to the women's prison once a week where I try to take on cases. And I've also set up a pro bono task force of lawyers in Chennai who do the same. And we're trying to do the same thing in Bangalore. And we've just recently partnered with the National Law School there. And so I'm excited to start the journey in Bangalore.
Wow, that sounds great. Really rewarding, for sure. So you do a lot of traveling, meeting with clients and things like that, or a lot of outreach, it seems like?
I travel to the prison once a week, but that's in the city. And then depending on where the court, which court is hearing their case, I go to the different criminal courts in Chennai and handle the cases.
Interesting. Could you tell us maybe about some cases that are going on right now?
Yeah. So the thing is, which is the reason why IBJ exists, is when you enter a prison, you realize that it's only people who are indigent and marginalized who are in there. And more often than not, they're in there for really petty offenses, or they're falsely accused often. And in the Chennai prison, I've seen a lot of the women who are in prison are sex workers. And just because of the shame associated with the sex trade, that abandoned by their families once they're in prison. And so even if they can get out on bail, they're unable to, because they're there's nobody to help them furnish the surety that they need to give in order to get out.
Interesting. So you think maybe IBJ sort of takes an interesting or kind of innovative approach in dealing with special cases?
Yeah, so I think what IBJ does is it takes on the cases for people who don't have any representation. And yeah, they facilitate early access to counsel so that everybody has, has a fair trial, has access to a lawyer, and yeah, essentially ensures that, everyone's basic rights are, taken care of.
Right. So, kind of what we've seen kind of from your work, you have a lot of interest in working with these kind of marginalized groups, and so you clearly get a lot of opportunity to do that through IBJ, and you've also worked with some other nonprofits outside of IBJ, like in India, or...
Yeah, so I've worked with a lot of nonprofits both while I was in law school and after, and these nonprofits have worked on a range of human rights issues, like rights of persons with disability, rights of persons with HIV, AIDS, and with a lot of NGOs that work on women's and children's issues. So those are the kind of nonprofits I've worked for.
Mm-hmm. Great. And just kind of looking towards the future, what are your kind of personal hopes or professional hopes? Working with IBJ, clearly expanding IBJ. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I'm really excited to be especially after coming here and interacting with the team, which is such a wonderful, positive group of people. And I'm really excited to just be a part of this IBJ family and add people, go back home and kind of we already have a pro bono task force of lawyers, but kind of spread more awareness, bring people on board and expand not just in Chennai and Bangalore, but also in other parts of South India.
Well, it was such a pleasure talking to you, meeting and connecting with people, like you said, from the IBJ family, and hearing their stories. It's definitely inspiring for us here in Geneva. So thank you, and
thank you.
So happy to have you.
Yeah, it's been great to be here.